Elohim Tov.
Kol
Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right. Baruch Hashem, Yeshua HaMashiach. And we are here today. We have a great message. The Lord had me on it all day yesterday. And so I'm hoping that we can really get it in. I don't know how much time I have, but I know some people might have to wait, Pastor Man, because I gotta get this message in, okay? I want the title of today's message is Our Current Reality. Mm-hmm. And I named it that as a kind of a dedication to a guy named Yokis, and I think his wife's name is Shauna Bossarelli, and they do street witnessing. And they have a YouTube called Our Current Reality. And they go out and they're witnessing on the street, talking to people about Jesus with a microphone and a couple of friends and them. And they have been under attack and they have been written tickets for out there speaking the word of God, you know. They gave him a ticket. But God took care of that and said, you know, and that was taken care of. God, like, I got your back, right? But we don't understand the courage that it takes to stand on the street and tell people that you need Jesus and you need to repent. And to get some of the reactions, I dare you to try it. If you think it's easy, I dare you to try it. Because the first person that curses you out, you might quit. But, you know, they're out there all the time preaching the word of God on the street. And if you've ever get a chance to see it, it's called Our Current Reality. And if you can go on sometime and just watch them witnessing and praying for people and watching the police come over and tell them they need to be quiet. It's amazing. And him and his wife are together on this. You know, sometimes you can be gung ho, but it's hard to get the wife, you know, to be a part of something that like such a soldier movement, you know. So praise God for them. And today is our message is called Our Current Reality. And did I bring my glasses with me, Pastor Ben? If I didn't, I'm going to get them.
Thank you. Can you see? All right.
Now, our current reality is a message. God told me to honor them and name this our current reality because what they're out there trying to do is they're out there trying to save souls, okay? And if we don't understand the reality of what God is here for and why Jesus Christ died was for saving souls, okay? Which is not an easy thing to do when the whole world is against saving souls, okay? So I want you guys to understand the reality of where we're at, the war we're in, and how we're going to help God to do one thing, and that's saving souls. It's not about anything else over saving souls. You understand? So I want to read to you from the book of Enoch what I was reading when God gave me this message. And
Pastor, plug your microphone.
Is it plugged in? Yes, right here. That's why. Can you hear me still? All right.
No.
All right. So I'm going to read this passage because I want you to understand what's going on, okay? Like I saw a little girl in there, she had on a Tupac shirt. And I'm like, that's our current reality. Our current reality is that our kids don't really understand that demons make their music. And other demons pay humans to make very bad music so that they can keep demonic things going. Don't understand that reality, but it's a reality. And if you don't culturally raise your child, society will do it for you.
Yeah.
Okay? They'll have them listening to everything and you'll wonder where they're getting all these ideas and they'll say, Tupac.
Right.
And you're like, when you been listening to Tupac? And you're like, so I'm saying we are responsible for letting our kids know the reality of what this world is like, and that we are not in a friendly zone. We're in an enemy zone, and my responsibility is to watch over you, okay? So I'm going to read this, and I hope you guys know this, but some angels decided at the beginning of time that they were going to take on the form of human beings and have themselves wives and have themselves children. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that human beings, human women, were not made for angels.
Right.
So they were in disobedience when they did it. But they did have children. And those children are the product of disobedience. And those children are what we call in the world today demonic spirits, okay? Now, I want to read this to you. And it says, and now the Nephilim, which are the children of the disobedient, who are produced from the spirit of spirit and flesh, shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, and on the earth shall be their dwelling. Evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies, because they are born from men, and from the holy watcher is their beginning and primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on earth, evil spirits shall they be called. As for the spirits of heaven, in heaven shall be their dwelling. But as for the spirits of the earth, which were born upon the earth shall be their dwelling. And the spirit of the Nephilim afflict, the spirit of Nephilim shall afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, work destruction on the earth, and cause trouble. They will not take food, yet they will be hungry and thirsty and cause offense. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against women, because they proceeded from them, the fallen angels. So we have a current reality in this world that there are demonic spirits that live on this earth with you, okay? Their job is deception and destruction of human beings. How are they going to do this? It all has to be done through deception, okay? I have to make cool what's sinful and make uncool what's not sinful.
Amen.
Okay? So your music is going to be sinful. And I'm not going to make religious music popular. That's not going to be on your top 10 chart. I'm going to make what I know will destroy you to be on your top 10 chart. Okay? So now it becomes the responsibility of the adult in that family to educate their children on what they're listening to and what they're watching. I'm going to make movies, but I'm not going to make a lot of PG movies. I'm going to make mostly R and maybe some PG-13, because I know a little profanity doesn't bother you, but too much might. But in those movies, I'm going to put the same concepts. Sin is cool. Righteousness is evil. Okay? And most children can't choose between which one is right, and because they make it sound good. You understand?
Right.
They make it sound like, hey, we should, you know, maybe being homosexual is just the way they were born. We'll think that, okay? Because we don't understand that homosexuality is a spiritual attack. Okay? There's a demonic spirit over homosexuality. And if your child's been attacked, it's great to love them, but you're praying for the removal of that spirit from your child.
Yeah.
Okay? We had a young lady that came here, and she used to be, oh, she was big in the rap game. And she came here and spoke on one of our little rap nights we used to have. And she has a book, too. I don't know who I gave it to or who I loaned it to. But in the book, she looked like a straight boy. I was like, where are you at? She said, that's me. I was like, no, that's not. That's a boy. She said, no, that's me. And she said, but the spirit that was over me, because when I was looking at her, she looked like a beautiful young lady. Hair was done, earrings, she liked jewelry, had some nice shoes on. I was like, wow. She says, no, that was me. She said, that just shows you that that was a spirit.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I had to be a boy. You understand? I have felt like I had to dress that way. And you wouldn't even notice me right now if you know who that was back then. And in the book, she shows herself with all these different music artists and different girlfriends she had. And she just looked like a straight boy on her. But she told me that was the spirit that had taken her over because someone convinced her that that was a good life and that was something she was born to do. Okay? You're dealing with a spirit. Understand, there's a lot of different animals in the whole world. None of them are homosexual except human beings.
Huh.
Think about that. Because spirits don't attack animals, and they can't deal with the animal's mind and reasoning and thinking. But a human, they can deal with your mind, your reasoning, and your thinking. Therefore, they can attack you. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Amen.
And since they know your spirit, and you refuse to come to the reality of that, they talk to your spirit and they say, well, let's make an excuse for this. And then maybe, you know, God will accept it. Well, God's never going to accept it. It's a spiritual attack.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
And that's in a lot of different things. Now, so I read that and I said, okay, Lord, I know that we're living with amongst demonic spirits. Okay. But then I get to reading further and it said, Enoch's journey through earth and Sheol, which is Hades. And this reads, it says, and I proceeded and saw a place which burned day and night, where there are seven mountains, magnificent stones, three toward the east and three toward the south. And it says, and I saw a deep abyss with the columns of heavenly fire, and among them I saw columns of fire fall, which are beyond measure, like toward the heights and toward the depths. And beyond the abyss, I saw a place which had no firmament of the heavens above, and no firmly found earth beneath it. There was no water in it, no birds, but it was a waste and horrible place. Then it says, then I asked regarding it and regarding all the hollow places, why is one separated from the other? So the angel is showing them the middle of the earth, and the angel is, and he's seeing that one area is separate from the other area. So you have, and you'll understand it on the, as I read this. Now watch this. It says, why is one area separated from the other? And he answered me and said unto me, these have been made for the spirits of the dead might be separated. And such division has been made for the spirit of the righteous, in which there is a bright spring of water. So he says, this is where we bring them, and we separate the souls in this place. Okay? So he says, now the one for the righteous has springs of water. Okay? And then he says, But here in the other place, the spirit shall be set apart in great pain till the great day of judgment and punishment and torment of those who are cursed forever, retribution for their spirits. There he shall bind them forever. Okay? So he takes Enoch to the center of the earth and show him paradise here where the righteous are living, and he shows them a place of torment and pain where the unrighteous souls go. Okay? Now I know that in church nobody likes to talk about hell anymore because it might, you know, scares people. It's like, oh my goodness, you're trying to get me through fear. Let me explain to you a scripture, and we'll go to it later. There's nothing wrong with fear. Fear is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
You understand? The scripture says, three different scriptures, fear is the beginning of wisdom. Fear is the beginning of knowledge and understanding. If you fear God, that is a good thing. You understand? And we'll get further into that. So, as I finished reading this, the Lord told me to go to Luke chapter 16. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. You in Luke chapter 16? When you get there, say amen. All right, here we go. It says in verse 19, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus who was covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angel carried him to Abraham's bosom. Where's Abraham's bosom?
In heaven.
It was in paradise, in Sheol, right? It was in paradise. So he takes the beggar to paradise. And it says, the time came when the beggar died, and the angel carried him to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. Okay? So, what does agony mean? I don't know. Have you anybody looked it up? Y'all looked it up in the Greek or whatever? It's going to mean great pain, no matter what language you look it up in, okay? So this rich man who dies, he is in great pain, okay? The beggar who died was taken to paradise, and he's in Abraham's bosom, okay? So that means when human beings die, the righteous go one place, and those who don't know Christ, who don't know God, go into the other place. The Lord told me nothing's changed. Mm. If you're righteous, you still go into pleasant, wonderful paradise with God. If you're unrighteous, or you've considered yourself to be righteous enough and you don't need Jesus, okay, you still go into great pain and you wait for your judgment day. You understand? Nothing's changed. The current reality of life is this. It's bigger than the rapture. It's bigger than the rapture, because we're so much thinking about the rapture. And I'm trying to tell you, there are people in hell that would like, I would love to be back on earth in the tribulation with the ability to make a decision for God again. Amen. There are millions of people that would wish this, okay? Because we don't want to talk about the fact that when people die, they either go one way or they go the other. There is no purgatory middle ground. There is nothing, okay? Now, when I tell people, like, I'm witnessing to someone, and they're telling me they were born that way, gay. I say, first of all, you're not born that way, because no one's born with a homosexual gene, okay? Right. You're under a spiritual attack. But if we pray, you can ask God to relieve you of that and to get this spirit off of you. But the first thing you have to do is, you can't be in agreement with the sin. because as long as you're in agreement with it, you're going to make excuses for it, and then it's going to become a stronghold in your life. So do you want to pray that God will release you from this demonic spirit that is trying to control your life in homosexuality? And they said, I was born this way. So I don't know how God, why would God want to make me different from what I was born to be? So I said, okay, I'm done. Because I realized this person wanted this lifestyle. They had dug such a stronghold for it. And when I say stronghold, what I mean is they had made so many excuses with Satan that they built up a defense against it. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, if that person should pass away in that state, I don't care how much you love them and how much you say they were really a nice person. Righteous people go here, unrighteous people go there, and the scripture says, and they are in great torment until judgment day. Yeah. You understand? That is the reality. Now, I want us to go to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Because this is what God put in my heart. And I hope you guys see this the way I see it. Because when God showed me this, he said, you know, Sandy, there's a difference between a threat and a promise. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yes, Acts chapter 17. There's a difference between a threat and a promise. If I tell you, get away from me or I'm punching you in the mouth, and you don't leave and I punch you in the mouth, it was no longer, it wasn't a threat from the beginning. It was a promise. You understand? The Lord says there's a difference between a choice and an ultimatum. I'm not giving you a choice. I'm giving you an ultimatum. And people don't understand. Hell is a promise.
Right.
Hell is an ultimatum. There's no choice. See, a choice is, you know, rather you live good or don't live good, rather you are cheating on me or not, you can still live with me. Mm. An ultimatum is, if you don't come home at a certain time and you stop doing this, you're going to have to get out. That's an ultimatum. Right. Understand?
Right.
God wants us to know that an ultimatum and a promise are different from a threat and a choice. You understand? So in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Or do I start? I'll start at verse 29. It says, therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone or an image made by men designed in skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. What man is that? Jesus. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Jesus Christ's resurrection is proof that now you have an ultimatum. Since he resurrected, God saying, I am commanding all men everywhere to repent. To repent to what? And accept what? The one who died on the cross, who God has appointed to wash away your sins. And God has proven that he has done this by raising him from the grave. So now the whole world has one command, okay? I don't care if you say, okay, there's 10 commandments. You got one commandment that you better get taken care of, okay, is that you repent and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But I'd rather be a Buddhist. Repent and save and have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay? But I was born this way. Repent. Listen, I'm not giving you, this is not a choice. This is an ultimatum, okay? Hell is not a threat, it's a promise. This is what happens, you understand? When people land in Hades, they realize, oh my God, there is a God. Oh my God, I got it wrong. You understand? And so if you don't understand that we are spiritual beings, we live in a physical realm, you have a soul. And when that that body, and that spirit and that soul leaves that body, it goes to the owner of it, and he separates them. Mm-hmm. He says, okay, you over there, you over here. Jesus, people over there, you over here. What about Buddha people? Buddha people over there. Jesus people over here. What about, I'm a Muslim, I was a good Muslim people over there. Jesus people over here. Well, that seems kind of harsh. You're taking all religions and saying only Christians go to heaven. Right. I'm saying, look, I don't care. You can call yourself whatever religion you want. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in a very bad place. Now, listen, all of us are here and we have Christ in our lives. You are so blessed. If I was you, I'd wake up to a dance song every morning and just dance for like 30 minutes, like, I know Jesus, I know Jesus. I would be like, just break it down. I would do it. You know why? Because it's hard to get saved. If the first people that witnessed to me, I'm sure thought like, I'm not going back over there because that guy's going to beat me up. Because I was irritated at the fact that here I am, I'm trying to talk to this girl and you're trying to talk to me about Jesus. Get out of my face. So you got to understand the mentality you were in before you accepted Christ was jacked up and it was headed somewhere. You understand? If God moved your heart to be able to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are one of the most fortunate people of this earth, because some people never get out of the trap. You understand?
Amen.
So God is commanding that everyone everywhere must repent. Now, since hell is such a real place, and I feel like witnessing and telling people about Jesus is very important. I also feel like our love for one another is very important. Because I realize that God's love for us, I'm talking about agape love, okay? What does agape love mean? Somebody tell me. This is weird. Somebody tell me what agape love is. What does it mean? What have we always been told? Agape love is unconditional love, right? Have you been told that?
Yeah.
Agape love means brotherly love. Agape love is brotherly love. Agape love is brotherly love. It's not unconditional love. Agape love means brotherly love. When you read the scripture, and I'm going to read it in John chapter 4, verse 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Every time I read the word love, it's agape. Now, the Greek have many different words for love, and so they're going to put the proper name of the love that they're talking about. Agape love is what God had for us. What did he have for us? He gave us his son because he wanted to have what? Relationship. He wanted to have agape love. But we have to realize the agape came from him first to love us so that we would have relationship and love him also. Okay, so and that relationship is called agape love or brotherly love. It is not unconditional. Okay, it's not like no matter what you do to me, I still love you. That is not agape love. Okay, some of us have it. We say, oh, I have agape love for my children. No, you don't. You have agape love for your children until they get a certain age. Then it's like, now I want some right behavior. I want some better grades. I want a clean room. Right. And then now they're 29. I want you to get a job and I want you to get a place and I want you to get out. Right. So don't say agape love, because it's based on circumstances and maturity. You understand?
Right. Preach, man.
That job. So let's go to John. First John chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse I think we'll start at 18. First John chapter 4, and I'm going to start up higher than 18 because I want you to get the understanding of this. We'll start at verse 10. Because the Lord said, I need to expound upon this. I mentioned it at one time, but I need to expound upon it because some people think that all you need is God's love and you can do whatever you want and you're still going to heaven because God has agape love. Agape love doesn't mean unconditional. It means brotherly. The word means a reciprocal love. Like if we have brotherly love, I love Pastor Ben. He sees I don't have anything to eat. He want to make sure I have something to eat. I want to make sure his needs are taken care of. And if I don't have this type of love that it goes two ways, okay, then I don't have what God wants me to have in my life. You understand? Let's yeah. Read this.
Good word, Pastor.
Let's read this. Okay, are you there? All right. And I said we're going to start at verse 10, right? Okay. So it says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loves us, we also ought to love one another. Okay? So remember, this is talking to, each time it's saying agape love. Since God loved us, okay, and he wants that reciprocal love back to him. He also wants us to do what? Love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, agape love, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Okay? How is it complete? Because it's agape. It's us loving him. And him loving us, and us loving our brothers. Can you love God and God love you and you not love your brother? Nope. Can you be like, I love Jesus and Jesus love me, but I just can't stand my mother-in-law? Mm-mm. You can't do that. You understand? You can't think of five people that you hate, but I love Jesus. Ooh. You understand? That's what God is saying. You can't have hate towards somebody else or no love for your own brother who you see every day and say that you love God. If we're in a relationship, then you need to be in relationship with your brothers, okay? Yeah. Let's continue. Okay, are we on verse 13? We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his son to be the savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God and lives in him, and he in God, you hear that? Mm-hmm. God lives in him and he in God. That's two ways. And so we know and rely on the agape, the love God has for us. God is love. Whosoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Okay. We're getting somewhere. We want to have confidence on the day of judgment. How are you going to have confidence on the day of judgment if you love God, but you don't love, that God loves you, but you don't love God? How does God know that you love him?
Keep my commandments.
He said, you will love me. I know that you love me if you keep my commandments, okay? And I want to make it simple. I can't say to you, you know, I really love you. I know I'm cheating and I have another girlfriend, but I really want you to know that I love you. How many of you guys believe that? You don't believe that. No, why you don't? Because it's not under you. You're not keeping the covenant, right? The covenant that you spoke to me was me and you, right? So if I'm acting outside of the covenant, you're going to say that's not love, okay? As Christians, if we act outside of the covenant, you know what God says? That's not love. So understand what God is saying here. Okay? So, it says so that we will live in confidence on the day of judgment. You want to be confident on that day because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. Why is there no fear in love? You know why there's no fear in love? Because I'm keeping your commandments and I know you love me. I have no fear in love. You understand? Love casts out all fear. Why? Because I love him and he loves me. Fear has no place here. But what if I have a lot of sin going on and I know I'm cheating on God? Do I go to judgment day with great confidence? No, because you absolutely know that the relationship wasn't right. You understand? So God is, this is what the Lord is saying. If you want to have confidence on the day of judgment, walk in love. Okay? Walk in relationship. Okay? Here we are. It says, because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Why? Because if you fear, you know something ain't right. If you have no fear, you know you love him, you're keeping his commandments, and you know that he loves you. You know that even if you slip up and you do something dumb, you know you repented and you're back in relationship with him. So you can work, you can walk in perfect love if you want. It is possible, okay? Perfect love casts out fear. It says, we love him because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whosoever loves God must also love his brother. So understand, each time in that chapter, he's talking about agape love. Okay? Agape love. He's talking about there is an exchange of affection. There is an exchange of covenant vows. There is an exchange, okay? You can't say God loves me because I believe his son exists and I went for it and I said a prayer, but I continue selling drugs and cheating on my wife and I'm going to heaven. You see how silly it is what people do? Or I still drink and curse people out, but I'm still going to heaven. You know what I mean? There's a scripture that God nullifies all foolishness. He says, God is not mocked. You will get what you live. You understand? And I paraphrase. God is not mocked. You can't make a fool out of God. Why? Because I said it last time I spoke. I told Israel this morning. I said, you know, Israel, God is always watching you even when I don't see what you're doing. And he goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, and you know what? I don't even own hell, but God does. So I said, you better be careful what you're doing in front of him. I want to put in his mind as a young man that no matter what you think you're sneaking and doing, you're not getting away with it because the one who can truly punish you is always watching you. You understand? Okay. Our next current reality. Let's go to Psalms 19. Okay. Check this out. Now, 19 in this scripture, if you guys been following me on this 120-year count since 1901, you would realize that 19 would be 1919, right? What happened in 1919 in the world? Do you know who became very famous for his study of the stars and the sun and all of these things? What's his name? The Jewish scientist. Einstein, right? Oh. So Einstein, this is the year he became very famous for studying the stars and coming up with all these theories. And theory of relativity and all of this stuff, he became very famous, and he put out this whole writing about his study in the stars, and he became famous in 1919. Okay, in this scripture, this is what it says. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. That very sentence is Jesus, 888. Because the stars do declare God's glory, because that's the story of Jesus Christ and his redemption. Okay? It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. 19. It says, their voice goes out into all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like what? A bridegroom coming forth from his huppah. Yours might say pavilion. You know what a huppah is?
Wedding.
A wedding canopy. He's coming forth from his wedding canopy. Okay? This is in the 19th. I presented something to the church on Wednesday night. Did God start a 120-year count? Did he do for us the same thing he did for Noah? Because he kindly told Noah, in 120 years, judgment is coming. But to the church, we know that Jesus is the only ark left in the world. So when is God going to give the church a 120-year count? And did he already do it? And if he already gave us a 120-year count, is he documenting the 120-year count until the 120th year? And as I'm studying through the book of Psalms, I realize that God gave us a 120-year count to the end, and it started in 1901. And we're in the 119th year of the 120th count. And so, as I'm studying through this, I'm realizing nobody really is thinking about God. Nobody is thinking about the fact that the reality that God has made a plan in the world of what he's going to do. And so, like we don't think about hell, nobody thinks about tribulation. And is it their fault? No, it's not their fault, because the world is about deception. The world is about be concerned with this, don't be concerned with that. You understand? We have Nephilim living in the world right now that do horrible, evil things. The guy that Joe Buck or whatever, who just got arrested, he was real good friends with Hillary. Now, you know, if somebody's friend with Hillary, you got to think they might be Nephilim. And he was. I mean, two men died in his house of overdose of methamphetamine, right? Two gay men died in his house, overdose of methamphetamine.
The third one survived.
And now the third one, he survived, and he realized this guy shot me up with methamphetamine so he can take advantage of me, and now I got to get out of his house. So he bust out and got somebody to call the police and the ambulance to come get him off of this high of this drug and save his life, right? The first thing they show is in his house is a picture of him and Hillary. I'm like, well, how has he got a picture of him and Hillary? They're best friends. They're like, he's given so much money to her, to the Democratic Party and everything. And so the other two times, I'm wondering, how did two people die in his house and this guy not end up in prison of overdose? And I'm like, oh, he's very rich and he gives a lot of money I'm like, he might not even be human. But see, we don't see this reality. We don't see the reality that you're living among demonic spirits. We don't see the reality that a wedding has been planned for the Son of God and an appointed time has been set for the Son of God to come and take the church out of the world, and a tribulation time has been set in the world that will happen, and we don't understand that this is a current reality. This is not a story in the Bible. I can't stand religion because religion always looks at the Bible as being stories, and the Bible is not a story. It's documented history from the beginning to our present time.
Yes.
And our present time is, man, I went through on Wednesday night, I couldn't believe that God documented the Holocaust in Psalms. Every year that's in Psalms, from Psalms 39 to Psalms 45, from the time the Holocaust began to the time the Holocaust end, is documented in Psalms. I couldn't believe that. I remember when me and Pastor Ben started looking at this, in 2008, Pastor Ben, somebody's supposed to get a shoe thrown at him.
Yeah.
And then we're looking on CNN, and a guy takes off his shoe and throws it at Bush right on CNN.
Yep.
We go, Pastor Ben, it came true. In 2004, we said, it says the waters are going to overflow somewhere. There's going to be a flood somewhere. And it was in verse 26. On the 26th of December, the tsunami happened. And we're like, Pastor Ben, it came true. And we're watching the Psalms being documented by God. Oh, like I told you in 1900s, Einstein did this big study. And there was an eclipse that year. There was an eclipse in 1919, right? And Einstein's becoming famous about talking about the stars. And then he puts in here 19, this is what's going to be going on, right? So understand this. And I'm going to tell you about my dream I had last night. Understand this. Let's say if, and I'm not saying if, because I'm telling you this is a real wolf, okay? This is not like before, okay? This is not like, oh, Pastor Sandy, he's the little boy that cries wolf. I told Sharon, this was my favorite story. And it's now, Pastor Sandy, you're the guy. You're the guy that cries wolf, and now there's a real wolf, okay? I'm telling you this is a real wolf, okay? Noah, the days that come upon us will be just like the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, he gave him 120 years and he said, judgment's coming. In the days now, we're going through 120 years since the time of the 1900s and the Holocaust happened and the return of Israel. All this stuff happens in the 1900s. And God is like, hey, something's about to happen. Something's about to happen. But in our current reality, we don't think about that because we're thinking about day-to-day life. And we don't think about we're spirits and souls that have to actually go somewhere else. You don't really live here. We don't think like that because our current reality is whatever they're selling us. You understand? So, where's the scripture? I'm sorry, Pastor Ben. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 25. This was one of the most boom scriptures I had ever read. I was in the car, right? I'm in the car and I read this scripture. And I have to pull over. And I have to go. No, I was at a stop sign. But I was, you know, let me tell you something. When you get fired up about God, you all in his word, I'm at the stop sign like, what? Let me pull over. Let me see what this is really saying. Listen to this, okay? And I've read this. It says here, 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8. It says, on the seventh day of the fifth month in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the commander of the imperial guard and the official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal place, and all the house in Jerusalem, every important building was burned down. I read that and had to pull over. You know why? Because I realized Nebuchadnezzar had already taken Israel 19 years before. When he first came into office, he said, let's go take Judah. So he takes Israel. Then I know from studying, he says, we'll let the people live in Jerusalem as long as they obey. But they didn't obey.
Right.
He comes back 19 years later and destroys Jerusalem. Okay. When God brings them back into the world, They get Israel, but they don't get Jerusalem.
Right.
But 19 years later, they got back Jerusalem. And I went, is this 19 years important in history? What is this important thing about the 19th year? So I started studying it more, and I realized World War I began on the 9th of Av in 1914. The 9th of Av is the same day that both temples were destroyed. And I realized World War I starts on the exact same day. 19 years later, Hitler is made chancellor of Germany. 19 years later in 1933. So is God measuring out the time that he knew that this is going to happen, then 19 years later this is going to happen? And this is what I'm saying. We can go through 100 evidences of God and what he's doing. And our current reality is still, I'm just a flesh being living in the earth trying to make it. Instead of saying, I'm spiritually and a soul made by God, and he's given me some commands and some things to do while I'm here so I can make it out of enemy territory safely. Because I'm going to tell you, this is the dream I had, and then I'm going to tell you, this is it. Okay, this is the dream I had last night. So last night, I'm like this. God is like, okay, look, this is a real wolf. This is a real wolf. So I get on my knees about 2, 3 in the morning. And I said, well, Lord, give me something that I can speak this in confidence. So I go back to sleep, and the Lord gives me this dream. The dream is, I land in this place, and when I get there, it is complete havoc going on. Planes are falling out of the sky. Boats are being washed up on shore. They're running into buildings. The wind is blowing so hard as you're seeing cars in the middle of the air running into buildings. It's like havoc. And I'm like, oh my God. So I'm trying to go get away from it and go to this other. I get to the other side of this place where I'm at, and everybody's celebrating and dancing in the street and selling roses. And all the roses are $6. I know from Hebrews, 6 is the letter Vav, which means salvation. They're celebrating on this side, and there's torment going on the other side. And I wake up, and the Lord says, there's your sign. Judgment and celebration is going to happen in the same day. And so we don't understand that when we're taken, while we're celebrating, the world is going to be going through torment. Then that's what we don't understand. And that's why, and believe me, I used to blame people for not witnessing, but now I don't, because these days I want to witness to people. They curse me out. I had 2 kids curse me out on the metro for giving them a Jesus pamphlet. So I know it's hard to witness, but people need to know that our current reality is this. There is a hell. There is a tribulation coming. There is a rapture that's going to happen. And we have to live in that reality. We have to live in that reality, okay? You're in a relationship with God, and we need to make sure that we keep that a two-way relationship. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah.
Good word, God. Thank you.
Oh, what? They wanted to see the picture online.
Wow, that's a lot of muscles. Did I mess it up?
They saw. I put it on Facebook last night.
I never saw that. Is that the picture they were talking about,
that's
Pastor?
The one. Yeah, I thought you saw.
Well, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Ooh, they got my nose right. That is awesome. Did they see it yet, Pastor Ben?
Yeah, they saw.